This is Radio Superior 1954, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s. This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the evening Gather Round show.
Come on in and gather around, campers. Tim Michaels here to lighten up the old campfire. It's Saturday, December 4th, 1954. Lou Martin's got the campfire stories. Harriet has big news about Chauncey the Bear Hunter. And the Cracker Barrel lady is in. That's good news, because I'm hungry.
It better be for bear meat, because you're not eating crackers on the air again.
Maybe it's the pickle barrel. Pickles are great, too, you know.
Too crunchy.
Cheese barrel?
No.
Meat barrel.
There's no such thing as the meat barrel lady.
I always thought Jack McKenna was the meat barrel man. Robert Chevrolet in Ashland has tonight's 6 o'clock news. Robert has a 53 Chevy Bel Air sedan for just $15.95. Robert's at 200 2nd Street in Ashland. Lou, it's your turn at the campfire.
McCarthy says the circus is over after the Senate condemns his action. U.S. Red-China face-off continues, and the murder trial of Dr. Shepard for killing his wife turns to the defense. We begin our world report in Washington.
This is Jack Bell on Capitol Hill. Republican Senator Joseph McCarthy of Wisconsin stood condemned for his conduct by a 67-22 vote of his Senate colleagues. The judgment of the Senate was handed down yesterday, and after the vote was in, McCarthy told newsmen he was, quote, very happy to get this circus over with, unquote. The vote, adopting a resolution condemning McCarthy's conduct, capped an extraordinary session of the Senate begun November 8th that became tense and bitter. On the final vote, Republican senators divided evenly 22-22. A solid lineup of 44 Democrats voted for the resolution. So did Independent Senator Morse of Oregon. Thus, McCarthy became the first senator since 1929 to suffer an official rebuke from his colleagues and the fourth in Senate history. McCarthy asked if there was any basis to reports he'll break away from the Republican Party to form a new party. He replied, "There's nothing to it. I am a Republican and intend to remain a Republican." Republican Senator Ralph Flanders of Vermont, author of the original censure resolution against McCarthy, said after the final roll call that, quote, "This has been a long and sad but very necessary experience," unquote. Flanders said from now on they'll have a more constructive approach to fighting communism. Special Committee Chairman Senator Arthur Watkins of Utah says the Senate has just finished a very unpleasant task. Reminded of his earlier characterization of the session as a lynch party, McCarthy was asked if he felt like he had been lynched. He replied smilingly with a simple no. The vote to condemn McCarthy's conduct did not strip him of any of his rights and privileges as a senator, nor did it deprive him of his chairmanship of the Senate Government Operations Committee and its Investigation Subcommittee, although he stands to lose these when the Democrats become majority party in January. McCarthy referred to the Senate's actions as censure in talking to newsmen, despite controversy as to whether he had been censured. New Hampshire Senator Stiles Bridges raised the question after the vote to the accompaniment of broad smiles from the McCarthy backers. He asked Vice President Nixon if the word censure appeared in the resolution. Nixon told him that it did not and said that the title of the resolution would be amended to delete the word censure. The final title reads, "A resolution relating to the conduct of the Senator from Wisconsin, Mr. McCarthy." However, Nixon declined to say whether these resolutions censured McCarthy. He says senators could place their own interpretation on it. The use of the word condemn was in line with the last case before the Senate when, in 1929, a resolution was adopted to, quote, condemn the conduct of former Republican Senator Hiram Bingham of Connecticut for bringing a lobbyist into a closed hearing on tariff legislation, unquote. The only prior case, occurring in 1902, involved a fracas on the Senate floor between South Carolina senators. In that instance, the Senate used the word censure against them. These earlier cases, providing the only Senate precedents, are referred to as censure cases. On Capitol Hill, this is Jack Bell, Associated Press.
This is Lyle C. Wilson, United Press in Washington. President Eisenhower's stated hope that Republican leaders will avoid differing with him on administration policy was met with silence today by Senate Majority Leader William Noland. He has been critical of the administration on dealing with the Chinese communist imprisonment of 13 Americans as spies. Noland wants the United States to blockade Red China to force release of the prisoners. prisoners. At his session with newsmen today, Eisenhower rejected that idea. He says a blockade would be an act of war and counseled against letting the communists goad the U.S. into war. In Washington, this is Lyle C. Wilson.
This is Stan Turner at the United Nations in New York. The United States is pressing for U.N. action to free 11 American airmen jailed by Red China on spy charges. The move brought quick response from America's 15 Korean allies. U.S. Chief Delegate Henry Cabot Lodge called the allies into emergency session last night to discuss the speediest course of action. He voiced confidence the U.N. would support any move the Americans might decide on. President Eisenhower told newsmen in Washington he did not see, quote, how the United Nations can possibly disabuse itself of a feeling of responsibility in this matter and retain its self-respect, unquote. Similar views have been expressed by congressmen. The airmen flew under U.N. colors. U.N. circles say there are three main avenues of action. First, bring the matter before the Security Council, where undoubtedly it would run into the Soviet veto. Second, ask U.N. Secretary General Dag Hammarskjöld to intercede personally with the Peking government. Third, seek a General Assembly resolution charging violation of the Korean armistice and demanding the flyers' release on grounds they are illegally imprisoned. If the third course is adopted, the Russians are expected to echo Peking's claim that the men are not war prisoners but were shot down over the China mainland. The U.S. hopes to forestall such a move in confining its appeal to the 11 airmen. Two civilian employees of the U.S. Army were sentenced with the flyers, but Lodge says they were not in the U.N. forces. At the United Nations, this is Stan Turner.
This is Drew Pearson with the Washington Merry-Go-Round. Secretary of State John Foster Dulles has known about the 13 U.S. flyers held by China ever since the Korean truce. They have been mentioned frequently over Peiping radio, so anyone listening also knew about them. Nothing was done to secure their liberation, now almost 2.5 years later. Prediction: look for Moscow to intervene with Red China to free the 13 Americans as part of the current coexistent overtures from Russia since Stalin's death. Ike is not going to be able to squeeze Senator Noland out of the Senate GOP leadership, no matter how often Noland punctures and pillories the Eisenhower foreign policy. Ike has been pretty peeved at Noland's speeches, but when his errand boy, Vice President Nixon, talked to GOP Senate Solons, they wouldn't stand for bouncing Noland. Incidentally, they didn't know whether Nixon was speaking for himself or the president, because Dick would like nothing better than to get his fellow Californian Senator Noland demoted. With the Washington Merry-Go-Round, this is Drew Pearson.
This is Jim Packard in Cleveland. The judge in the Shepherd murder trial overruled defense motions for a directed verdict of acquittal. Common Pleas Judge Edward Blythen said this is not a case that can be disposed of by the court. Therefore, he said the motions made Wednesday by the defense to dismiss the murder charges against Dr. Samuel Shepherd would be overruled. The 31-year-old Shepherd is charged with first-degree murder in the bludgeoning of his pregnant wife, Marilyn, also 31, in her bed at their lakefront home last July 4th. The defense proceeded with its case, calling as its first witness Dr. Stephen Shepherd, elder brother of the defendant. Dr. Steve, one of three osteopath brothers who practice with their father, has been the only relative of the defendant allowed in court during the trial, now nearing the end of its seventh week. The state concluded its case Wednesday, calling as its 30th and final witness pretty Susan Hayes. She told of sharing a bed with Dr. Sam and receiving a ring and a watch from him. She said he told her he loved her and was thinking of divorce. Attorney Arthur E. Peter Silge argued that the state's case against Shepherd is based entirely on circumstantial evidence. He ridiculed the contention that the handsome, dark-haired osteopath wanted to divorce his wife because of Susan Hayes. Quoting Peter Silge, he certainly didn't have to kill her to get Susan Hayes. He had her whenever he wanted her. The facts as brought out by the state show the crime could just as well have been committed by someone else. Assistant County Prosecutor John J. Mahan countered that Shepherd would have drowned if he'd stretched unconscious on the shore of Lake Erie that night, as he claimed to have been after a fight with a killer. Mahan said the waves were running too high for that. In Cleveland, this is Jim Packard.
A member of Pope Pius XII's family reported the Pope held his own today. Nevertheless, anxiety for the pontiff's life continues. Pope Pius was crowned in 1939, 15 years ago. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08. Tim Michaels has this message from Roffers Chevrolet in Ashland.
If you are looking for quality used cars, we've got some great models at the lowest prices at Roffers Chevrolet in Ashland. How about this? A 53 Chevy four-door sedan, Bel Air, $15.95. 53 Ford two-door sedan, low mileage, only $12.95. A 52 Chevy five-passenger coupe, radio, heater, $9.95. And a 51 Chevy two-door sedan with power glide, only $9.95. Or a 1950 Chevy two-door sedan, radio, nice and clean, $7.45. See all of these great deals at the lowest prices ever at Roffer Chevrolet Sales, 200 2nd Street in Ashland, Wisconsin. Lou?
Superior's moving back to having a mayor instead of a city manager. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the news.
Good evening, Lou. The response to a movement asking for an election to change city government has been terrific, Frank Sheehan declared today. Sheehan is chairman of the Citizens for the Return of Representative Government. That's the group that wants to bring back the mayoral government. The petition asks a charter change from the present city manager to the mayor-alderman form be adopted by the city council or referred to a vote of the people at next April's election. Also, councilmen are considering a $10 per month increase to firemen and policemen with $5 more per month for uniform costs. The top for an average patrol officer is $327 a month in similar-sized cities, and Superior's is $315 right now a month, reflecting on the salaries of the common laborers and truck drivers of Superior, which are $1.55 and $1.66 per hour, respectively. This corresponds to the rate paid in other cities, Lou.
Wisconsin sheriffs oppose more state patrol. That story from our Capitol reporter, John Powell.
The Wisconsin Sheriff's Association is urging the legislature to take no further steps to increase the state traffic patrol. In reiterating its stand against an increased state patrol, the group says municipal authorities are far more familiar with people and geographical makeup of their localities than state officers would be. In other resolutions passed at the annual convention here, the association suggested the possibility that blood be transported by air in emergencies. They also want the terms of state and county office holders to increase from 2 to 4 years and recommend a change in the state constitution to allow sheriffs to hold office for more than 2 consecutive terms. Lastly, they recommended that the law be changed to make issuing worthless checks a felony rather than a misdemeanor. In Madison, this is John Powell speaking.
Christmas lighting on 2nd Street in Ashland will be turned on for the first time Friday evening. The nativity scene, which last year was erected at the bandshell, this year will be on the courthouse lawn. The street lighting in Ashland had to be changed this year because of installation of the new White Way. Lighted stars are on each White Way pole. There are 4 poles on each block, and green festooning with colored lights extending from the top of the poles to 6 feet from the sidewalk.
Kind of like your Christmas sweater that you're wearing there, Lou. Pretty flashy.
It itches a bit, but it's warm and festive.
The only reason a guy wears a scratchy sweater is if he got it as a gift and must put it on to prove that he likes it. From Harriet, I assume?
She got it for me in 1939.
It's holding up pretty good for making it through 2 wars and who knows how many Christmas jitterbug contests. Okay, campers, here's the lowdown from the U.S. Weather Bureau for this Saturday, December 4th, 1954. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low of 12. We could get rain or snow tomorrow since the high will be around 32. Hey, campers, dig out your cowboy hats and your spurs and cap guns because we're going to do a little yippee-ki-yay-ki-yo with our way through tonight's show. That's right. Fans of Davy Crockett and Roy Rogers, hang on. Let's start with Tex Ritter and the Old Chisholm Trail on the Evening Gather Round Show.
Come along, boys, listen to my tale. Tell you my troubles on the Old Chisholm Trail. Comma tie, yippa, comma tie, yippa, 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 yippa. On a $10 horse, $40 saddle, I'm a-going to punching Texas cattle, come a-tie-ya. Whoop-a-yip-a-yip. Whoop-a-la-yip-a-yip. Well, I woke up one morning on the old Chisholm Trail, a ribbon on a heifer and a bull with a tail, comma tie, yip a comma, whoop la yip a yay. I'm a going to Oklahoma, gonna marry me a squaw, live on the banks of the old Choctaw, comma yip a yip a yip a comma yip a yay, whoop la yip a yay. Hit Caldwell, we hit her on the fly. We bedded down the cattle on a hill close by. Come a whoop-a-la, yip-a-yip-a-yip-a-yip. Come a whoop-a-la, yip-a-yip. Now the wind commenced to blow, the rain began to fall. It looked by gum like we're gonna lose them all. Come a whoop-a-yip-a-yip-a-yip. Whoop-a-la, yip-a-yip. Stray in the herd, the boss said, kill it. Hit him in the rump with the handle of a skillet. Come a tie-yip, come a whoop-a-la-yay. Whoop-a-yip-a-yay. It's a bacon and the beans most every day. Soon it'll be a-eating prairie hay. Come a whoop-a-yip-a-yay. Whoop-a-yip-a-yay. Going back to town to draw my money. Going back to town to see my honey. Come a yippa yippa yippa, come a whoop-a-la yay, whoop-a yippa yay. With my knees in the saddle and my seat in the sky, quit punching cattle in the sweet by and by. Come a whoop-a yippa yippa yay, whoop-a-la yippa yay.
Tex Ritter and the Ooh, Chisholm Trail on KUWS. Hey, campers, here's a gift that's just right for the budding movie maker in your family, a Brownie movie camera. That's right, you'll enjoy the wonderful full-color movies this camera will make. There's just one simple setting, and a built-in guide shows you how. Get your Brownie movie camera for just $37.50 at E.J. Bourne Jewelry Company in Ashland. Dial 1351. You know, campers, we could make ourselves a great sci-fi flick like The Creature from the Black Lagoon. Think of it. The biggest sci-fi thriller of 1954. And now that they have the cheap movie cameras, we could do The Creature from the Lake Superior Blue Black Lagoon or something like that.
Or something.
Lou could play the geology professor who gets killed by the Gill Man. We could make the monster Musky Man. Engineer Joe could play that part if he knows how to swim.
I don't want to get killed off. The Musky Man doesn't sound very scary.
It's better than Trout Man or Northern Pike Man. Either way, you get killed off. But it's a memorable way to die.
All of this on a Brownie camera.
Dream big, my man. Dream big. The Cracker Barrel Lady is in Next Kids. And right now, let's enjoy Gene Autry's Home on the Range on our Buckaroo Evening Gather Round Show.
Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. Home, home on the range, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. How often at night, when the heavens are bright, with the light from the glittering stars, have I stood there amazed and asked as I gaze if their glory exceeds that of ours?
discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. Home, home on the range, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard the discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy.
And Home on the Range on KUWS. Now the Cracker Barrel lady, Lucille Horn. By the way, did you see Creature from the Black Lagoon? You know, I'm thinking of doing a Lake Superior sequel. Interested in playing a role? I could make you a star.
That's not the first time I've heard that line, mister. I prefer it when Lou Martin introduces me. He's much more discreet, that red-haired rascal.
Yeah, he's mad at me because I'm going to kill him off.
Understandable. Okay, everybody, here's the news from my Cracker Barrel. Time is nigh for the gathering of the greens, the modern version of bringing in the Yule log. I always read with interest of Trinity Luther League's plan in Spooner and those with Concordia Lutheran in Superior, two groups who have made traditional events of decorating their churches for Christmastide. Concordia already has 46 small Christmas trees at the church for various departments and to spruce up the basement hall for Daughters of Concordia Tea Friday night. The big ones are left for this weekend. Two huge trees to be cut down on Highway Number 35 Saturday and trucked in on Sunday afternoon. A party of 25 young people to be out for the trees. Ladies will serve supper Sunday to the green gatherers. The mammoth spruces stand 38 feet high outside the chancel at the front of the church on either side of the altar for the holiday season. Speaking of huge trees, the one erected at the lookout on Lenroot Memorial Drive on Bay Street in Central Park is bringing comment from Paul Bunyan's story, Embellishers. They say Superior should invite the giant woodsman back to take part in this Superior Centennial Year's Christmas. View the tree where once Paul sat on the bay's banks and twiddled his toes in the cooling waters. Paul, as the tales go, dropped his baby ring near this spot. Much comment going around the upstate on the 60-point buck taken in Bayfield County. Some disbelievers. Those at Ashland who saw the buck say he's been in plenty of jams. Many battle scars on old Foxy. Old-timers say 60 points, nothing. They've seen as many as 100 points on bucks. The Mukwonago farm woman, moving back to Douglas County next spring, has written a poem of special interest. A news director of Crusade for Freedom writes it will be used over its Radio Free Europe network. The poem, Behind the Iron Curtain, is the work of Mrs. John Allender. And everybody, 10-gallon milk cans that farmers have known for generations will soon become collector's items. The new bulk tank system for handling milk will be the end of cans in the next 10 years.
A 10-gallon milk can would last all day in our family. My older brother could drink right out of the can. Talk about a milk mustache.
I do miss Lou.
Oh, all women do. Hey, let's hear from the Sons of the Pioneers right now. And Chant of the Wanderer. On the Cowboy Rootin' Tootin' Tim Michaels Evening Gather Round Show.
Take a look at the sky where the whippoorwill trills, and the mountain so high where the cataract spills. Take a look at the falls and the rippling rills. Hear the wondrous calls of the whispering hills, the rippling rills, the cataract spills, the whippoorwill trills. The rippling rills, the cataract spills, the whippoorwill trills. Rippling rills, the cataract spills, the whippoorwill trills. Let me live on the range where the tumbleweeds grow, that the silver sand chains where the prairie winds blow. Let the wanderers sing where the wanderers go. Let the melody ring, for he's happy, I know. The wanderers go, the prairie winds blow, the tumbleweeds grow. The wanderers go, the prairie winds blow, the tumbleweeds grow. The wanderers go, the prairie winds blow, the tumbleweeds grow. Follow the trail where the buffalo roam. Let a silver cloud sail where the setting sun shone. Let the lobo-wolf wail in a broken heart tone. Let a storm, let a gale, still the prairie's my home. A broken heart tone, the setting sun shone, the buffalo roam. A broken heart tone, the setting sun shone, the buffalo roam. The rippling rills, the cataracts fill, the whippoorwill trill. The wanderers go, the prairie winds blow, the tumbleweeds grow. A broken heart tone, the setting sun shone, the buffalo roam.
Sons of the Pioneers and Chant of the Wanderer on KUWS. Hiya, Harriet.
I like the idea of the creature from the Lake Superior Blue Black Lagoon.
You know, we can get an expedition to Outer Island and the Apostle Islands where they find the skeletal webbed hand of Musky Man, the missing link between fish and humans.
Yes, I'm sure it would be a hit.
Me and my brawny movie camera will make us all rich.
We could go on and on, Timothy, but I do have some important community news.
Well, that'll give me time to finish the plot of Musky Man.
First and foremost, our thoughts are with Miss Kitty Kleinhess of Herbster. The poor dear slipped and fell on an icy street and fractured her left hip. She'll be in St. Joseph's Hospital in Ashland for several weeks.
Oh, that's terrible.
Isn't it? Poplar Homemakers will have their Christmas party at the Clayton Olson home next Monday evening. Potluck will be served and gifts will be exchanged.
That's sweet.
Isn't it, though? And here's an item from 25 years ago, December 4th, 1929. The State Director of Education for Crippled Children was in Superior to confer with School Superintendent Miss Lulu Pickett. They discussed establishing a school for crippled children in Superior.
Interesting.
And this is so exciting, ladies. The youngest daughter of Chauncey the Bear Hunter will be married December 28th. Chauncey's littlest cub, Miss Nancy Bottom, is engaged to Jerry Ladine of Ashland. The vows will be exchanged at St. Agnes Church in Ashland. Miss Carol Carlson is maid of honor. Chauncey's Wilderness Lodge in Iron River won't be the same without his little cub running around, Timothy.
Poignant.
That's it. I can't take your one-word commentaries anymore, even though you do plan to kill me off in your little movie.
Oh, Lewis, the movie will be fun.
And even though you're toast halfway into the flick, you'll still be a respected marine biologist. You just shouldn't have gone to the blue-black lagoon of Outer Island, known as the paradise from which no one has ever returned.
That's always a bad move, Lewis.
I should have known better.
Which leads us to our next cowboy ditty cappers. Here's Patsy Montana and Shine On Rocky Mountain Moonlight on the Evening Gather Round Show.
Shine on Rocky Mountain moonlight, shine upon the one who waits back home for me. Shine on Rocky Mountain moonlight, take this message, say I love him tenderly. Shine on Rocky Mountain. my one guiding light. So shine on Rocky Mountain moonlight. Shine upon the one who waits back home for me. Lady, lady, lady. I need a lady. Oh, need a lady. Lady, lady. Oh, lady. I need a lady.
Patsy Montana and Shine on Rocky Mountain. I think I heard myself. Now back to the creature from Lake Superior Blue Black Lagoon. The research team decides to risk it and return to the place where research biologist Dr. Lou Martin was horribly done away with.
How horribly?
But unbeknownst to them, the amphibious Musky Man has been watching their every move. Musky Man takes special liking to the beautiful research assistant, Harriet.
That's when the musky lunges at Harriet. You get it? Musky lunge.
Yeah, newsman humor.
Musky Man tips the scales of nature's balance.
Community editor humor is just as bad. Well, time to put out the campfire, kids, at least for tonight. Coming up on KDAL-TV Channel 3, Mr. Tolliver's Travels, Western Ranger, and my favorite, Crusader Rabbit. We'll be back same time, same campground, the good Lord willing, and our movie has a happy, non-fatal ending.
Don't count me in.
Come on, Lou, it'll be a great movie. It probably won't make millions like The Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Millions?
A hit like that can gross millions of dollars.
I think Louis is warming up to the idea.
Come to think of it, I do strike a good professorial pose. Count me in.
Here's Roy Rogers and Dale Evans to take us home, campers. And, Lou, it's kind of a grisly death by the web claws of Musky Man, though.
Count me out.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds when we're together?
Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
Happy trails to you. Till we meet. The clouds when we're together.
Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.
been listening to Radio Superior 1954, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Fahrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by John Munson, Kathy Berggren, Jim Packard, and Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1954 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.